And as they go, I'm going to introduce our speaker for the morning. Mr. Dan Tuckett is going to deliver the message for us, giving me a week off from sermon writing so I could do other pastory type things. He is, for those of you who don't know, originally from New York City and then came out to the Great Plains States to go to college. And if I remember the story right, met his lovely wife in school. Is that right? And Sherry, you can wave for those who don't know who you are. All right. Great. And they have three fantastic smiley children. Danny, who's in college. Jasmine, who's watching my baby, I think, right now. And Isaiah, who also just ran off. Dan's currently working as a lab tech at Valley Queen Cheese in Milbank. He's one of these guys that, these science guys that know smart stuff like that. And I've noticed in the half year that I've been here that Dan is also one of these kind of quiet guys who, when he speaks, you listen. And he has good things to say. And I've appreciated his worship leading and his prayers for our church and on behalf of our church. And he also serves as one of our deacons. So today we get an extended opportunity to hear you speak, Dan, and we're going to listen. And thank you for your willingness to bring God's word to us.
Amen. Thank you. That was a great introduction. I liked it. I was telling somebody, it might have been Paul, I was mentioning him because I was preaching today. I said, all the times I preached over the years, the pastor's always been gone. They've been on vacation, you know. Now the pastor's in the building, so, you know, I got to be careful, I suppose. then the nerves are a little heightened, too, you know. So I'm just glad for the opportunity to come up and speak. You know, I just thank the Lord for what he's been doing in my life, especially this past year, you know, with everything that's been going on, with looking for new employment and stuff like that. And you know, I just thank God for just always being true and just being steadfast. I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 12, and we'll have that on the overhead here, starting with verse 21. Then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourself according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, today to deliver a message, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, that everything that comes out, Lord, is from you. Lord God, I just pray that you would just make me your instrument, Lord God, your vessel. I just pray, Lord God, for your anointing this morning. I pray, Lord God, for hearts to be touched, people to be blessed this morning, Lord. And Lord, again, just have your way, Lord, because you know us more than we know ourselves. Lord, we just pray, Lord God, even when we leave this place, Lord God, that we would let your light shine, Lord God, to all those around us, Lord God, preaching the gospel to those around us. But Lord, have your way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Is this okay? Should I switch mics or? Good? Okay. All right. Just a little explanation of the passage. This is the Passover passage when the death angel came through Egypt. That was around the time when the Egyptians were enslaved in Egypt and a lot of the plagues were coming through. And so the Lord sent a death angel through the land of Egypt to kill the firstborn of the Egyptians. And also it said that it also would kill their livestock, firstborn of their livestock also. You know, I love when I read the Old Testament, when God gives he is just so explicit with his, as he tells you to do something and he repeats it, you know, not to be annoying, you know what I mean? You know, sometimes when we're growing up, you know, we're young kids or teenagers, you know, and our parents tell us something and they keep repeating it, you know, and it's just kind of tweaking on that nerve, you know, that's really bothering you, you know, and you're like, okay, Ma, okay, I understand, you know, and then you have those, the kids that right away, as soon as the parent says something or somebody gives them instruction, they say, I know. And then they turn around and don't do what you told them to do, you know. So, but the Lord is good. I mean, he explains it. Then he gave it to Moses, and then Moses had to explain it. And he did a good job, you know, explaining it to the Israelites on what they needed to do with the lamb and everything like that. The thing that God wants us to do, he wants us to be obedient to him. And so that's why he's just so precise with everything. Everything has to have its proper time and its proper place. What I'm going to talk about today is the power of the blood. And back when I was losing my job, Eva Stacy loaned me a book called of that title, The Power of the Blood. Well, I have a copy here, but it's not her copy. But and she had shown me this book, and as soon as I looked at it, it's like, man, I've seen that book before. And I said, maybe I read it sometime before, and I read it, and it was just an awesome read. And she gave it to me. She goes, here, read it. He goes, read it 2-3 times if you have to, you know. And so I said, I'll do that. And it's basically just talking about the blood and what the purpose of the blood is, and the power in the blood and what the blood does. And you know, I remember the church that I grew up in when our benediction every Sunday was Under the Blood, and that was a song we sang. It was called Under the Blood, and just as a covering for us, a protection for us, you know, as we go through the week, as we leave the building, you know, because, you know, the devil, he comes in so many different ways and is always trying to hurt us or do something to us, and we just need to be covered under the blood. The first time the blood was introduced, a sacrificial lamb was introduced, was back in the garden after Adam and Eve, you know, ate off the tree. And they covered themselves in fig leaves. Well, that wasn't good enough. There had to be a covering. So the Lord made clothes for them, took skins and made clothes for them to be covered with those skins. It says that in Genesis Genesis 3, verse 21. And give me the time to get that up there. And then also for Adam and Eve, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Now, even though they were covered, I know in other Bible stories where people have sinned or whatever, and then they had to go outside the city gates and then for a time, and then they come back in cleansed. Well, even though they put on the skins and they were covered now, they had to leave the garden because the blood wasn't pure anymore. They had to leave, and then the Lord had passed down different instructions that they were supposed to do, you know, when they left the land. And then also it says in Leviticus 17, verse 11, it says that, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is blood that makes atonement for the souls. And then if you go to Hebrews 9, verse 22, and it says, according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. So, first of all, when we get the blood, there's a covering. As I read in the passage earlier, there was a covering. That blood would cover the doorpost. So, as that blood covered the doorpost, it protected all of those that were inside the house. That blood had power in it. There was a death angel that was coming through, and the Lord said that the death angel knew that when he saw that blood, he was not to go into that house and kill those people, or take the firstborn, I should say. So there's power in that blood. The blood knew the authority. The devil knew the angel knew the authority in that blood. You know, and it says and talked about in Hebrews 2 about us. If there was no purification of blood without shedding blood, there would be no remission. I mean, you know, we fall short. And so, you know, with Jesus in with the new covenant, we fall short, we get back up again. You know, it says in Proverbs, a righteous man falleth 7 times, but he gets back up again. And, you know, what makes him righteous is that he knows to get back up again and continue. And that's what we do. You know, we fall short daily. We die daily. Paul wrote in his epistles that he dies daily. So, but he knows how to continue to keep on going on, and that's what we're supposed to do. So I was going to talk about three different things, and you could actually talk about more than the three things that I'm going to pick, but I picked the three things because of what they meant to me. I picked the covering because we had to be covered. There was an atonement there. So our ultimate atonement was Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. When he shed blood, that was atonement for us. That was us, atonement for the world, so we didn't have to sacrifice any more lambs after that. And then the next thing I was going to talk about was healing. And the thing that I was going to bring up in healing is that when I was out of work, and as I was reading through this book, and it was just talking about the power of the blood and pleading the blood of Jesus. I don't know if many of you have heard and different things or seen how people pray when they're either casting out demons or when they pray against something. They say, "Lord, I plead the blood on this thing. I call out to your name, Jesus, to cast out this demon or help me in a certain situation." When I sat on my couch, I remember years ago when I think it was Pastor Ed, he had said, he had us build, I don't know if it was Pastor Ed or a Promise Keeper thing, but anyway, they had us make an altar, and the altar is where you spend your most time. So say you have this chair in front of your TV, that's your altar. So we had to turn that altar into God's altar at the time, because that's where we spend most of our time. So that's what I did. I turned my TV chair into an altar and did my praying and everything in that chair. And when I was out of work for that month and a half, every morning I prayed. Every morning and any time I could, I pray and just pleading the blood. I said, "Lord, I just plead the blood over this situation." And I remember at that time, Dennis Tilkey, my brother-in-law, he was diagnosed with leukemia. And then we also were praying for Brian Breberg. You know, we were just praying. We were lifting him up in prayer. And I remember how, when people go through cancer, you get a little praise and then you get a little no praise, because you get good, you start feeling better, and then all of a sudden, then something drastic happens, and then you're like, "Oh, Lord, we need more of your power." So we prayed. And so as we prayed, so now you come to find out that Brian Breberg was healed through all of this, through all this prayer. And so Dennis Tilkey, my brother-in-law, his leukemia, they call it being in remission. So, you're praying, and when I'm saying this, I wasn't the only one praying. I know all of you were praying. And I remember there was a saying one time, when we go to pray for something, we have to storm the gates. And that's what we do when you pray. You're storming the gates, and you're taking back what the devil has taken from you. And so that's what we were doing. And so even during that time, I was still praying for my brother Stevie. And I just remember when I was at the hospital, and I've shared this before. I remember when I was at the hospital, and the doctor came out and just told us all the dreadful news of what he wasn't going to be able to do. He was going to be a vegetable. He was going to, wouldn't be able to take care of himself and all this other stuff. And, right then and there, I said, "Man, I don't believe that. I don't accept that." So I was pleading the blood for him all this time. And I speak to him on the phone so often. And this last time I spoke to him on the phone, he's in his right mind. He had a major aneurysm on the side of his head. Major. And the guy said that he wouldn't have any brain function at all. He's in his right mind. I mean, he may have trouble, still trying to speak a little bit more, but he speaks better every time. From my perspective, he speaks better every time. I mean, he knows everything, asks about the kids, asks about Sherry, asks about the people here. I mean, just different, there's different stories and stuff that we reminisce over when we were kids. I mean, he knows it all, just laughing and what have you. I mean, that's the blood. That's the power of the blood that I was praying over my brother. And then, we went through with Jeff Runglin, what Jeff Runglin, he'd go for such a long time, and all of a sudden he'd have a little spell, and he's knocking on death's door. And then all of a sudden the Lord brings him back again, and he's going strong, and then finally the Lord says, "You know what? it's time for me to bring you home. You know, and as much as we miss Jeff, the thing of it is, he's in a better place. You know, when we pray for people not to die, that's a lot of times it's our selfishness, you know. Sometimes we're keeping people from getting into heaven. It's like sometimes you wonder if they're saying, stop praying for me, you know. The Lord's ready to take me home, you know. But, you know, it's amazing how the Lord works. You know, it also, like I said, when I was talking, just to live as Christ and to die is gain. You know, as you live as Christ, and if you die, you're gaining. I mean, you're going to heaven. You're going to live with the Lord. It says in Isaiah 53, verse 5, that, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And then also in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we died to sins, that we died to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. By his stripes we're healed. So when we pray for something, healing's going to come from that. It's got to, you know, there are people that have been praying for years for things, and they haven't come. And I don't know, as Pastor was praying this morning about Maria's young nieces and nephews when they passed away, you know, you don't understand why that happens like that. And some people that haven't been healed, you don't know why or how that happens like that. I'm always reminded of the story of Daniel when he prayed for the deliverance of Israel. And it took him 21 days to pray. And during those, and finally after the 21 days, the miracle came through. And so come to find out that the blessing was released. It was in the heavenlies, and released. And the demons were trying to keep it from getting to where it was supposed to go. Michael and Gabriel were fighting all that time to release that blessing. How many of us have blessings in the heavenlies that are trying to reach us, and they haven't reached us yet? We need to continually pray. We need to continually plead the blood on those situations like that. Continue covering for protection and all that stuff. We need to just continue to pray for that. And then the next thing that I was going to touch on was protection. Well, I've shared this many times as long as I've been here in Minnesota. My mom, when we were growing up, she prayed for us before we left the door every morning. We'd get to the door, she'd have us all standing at the door praying for us. And she always prayed that the Lord would cover us under his precious blood. She always pleaded the blood over us. And always say, watch over some more hurt, harm, danger. She always talked about binding the enemy and encamping. She wanted to make sure she covered everything, you know. And so I'm not, you know, and that was our fighting chance out there. I mean, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. There's always going to be trouble that comes and knocks at your door. But that was a covering. You know, just think of, sometimes I wonder of all the things that might have happened around me that I didn't notice, where I could have lost my life, or I could have died, or something could have happened. That, and all of us could say that. You know, we don't know those things. Well, anyway, she prays, and there's times when we've had friends stay over, sleepovers, and we'd go outside to play. Even when we were just going outside to play, she'd pray for us. She'd pull us over, she'd pull our friends over, you know, and when we were younger, then, you know, she prayed with our friends, and they, you know, weren't churched or whatever, and, you know, you bow your head, and, you know, they're looking around, and then then some of them are like that, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, so you kind of feel embarrassed because you're a kid, but, I mean, hey, there's nothing you can do. I'm not going to stop her from praying. And then as I got older, I remember having some college friends come over and stay some time at the house, and we were leaving to go out. Mom stopped us at the door and prayed for them, you know, as we were leaving. I'm glad she did that, and I'm glad that it was something that was being passed on. And I remember a friend of mine, he goes, man, he said, that was awesome. I was like, good, I'm glad you liked it, you know. And we'd have family reunions, and my mom was a lot of families have a person that they're kind of like the bridge of the family. They're the ones that everybody goes to get all the, not gossip, but get together. My mom loved get togethers. And so everybody called her for the get togethers. And so, we'd be at family reunions at our house and at other people's homes. And before, I mean, it was time for everybody to go. And boom, we'd have this big circle around the yard. It would be 100 people plus sometimes, you know. And we'd all be holding hands and she'd be praying. And my mom, she was the older cousin. My grandmother was the second born. It was, I believe, 8 siblings. And my grandmother was the second oldest. Well, anyway, so my mom, her kids were the older of the cousins. And so my mom, she would bring all the cousins to church all the time when she was younger. And she'd preach all the time. I remember some people sometimes getting kind of annoyed. Oh, Edie's preaching again, you know, or something like that, you know. And so at my mom's, well, actually just before my mom passed away, I remember a couple of the cousins called her to let her know that, Edie, we finally gave our hearts to the Lord. And I remember at her funeral, a few more of them got up and are serving the Lord now. Then my grandmother passed away. They were at my grandmother's funeral. And so after the funeral, as we were getting together as family, I mean, they were just sharing, yeah, your mom used to drag us to church as kids, you know. And then we got older and we went our own way, you know. We didn't want to be messed around with that. And then all of a sudden, the Lord grabbed hold of me again. And now I'm saved, you know. And so if there are people that you're praying for, plead the blood over it. Just continue to pray for them, because you never know when they're going to come to serve the Lord. Just keep doing that. You know, sometimes, you know, and I keep saying plead the blood of Jesus or say a certain prayer or something like that. I know some people are saying, well, that might sound a little ritualistic. and it's, you know, maybe in some cases it might sound a little ritualistic. But I'll tell you what ritualistic is. If we turn to, I don't know if I'm jumping the gun here or not, but we'll go ahead with that anyway. But we'll turn to Acts. I'm going to jump down. Sorry, Teresa, going out of line there. We'll jump down to Acts 19, chapter 19, verses 13 to 16. I'm doing the Living Translation, and I was kind of noticing that it wasn't the exact same words, but hopefully it'll mean the same thing. Well, anyway, there were these, I'll go ahead and read, a team of itinerant Jews who were traveling from town to town, casting out demons, and planned to experiment by using the name of the Lord Jesus. The incantation they decided on was this: I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches to come out. 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, were doing this. But when they tried it on a man possessed by a demon, the demon replied, I know Jesus, I know Paul, but who are you? And he leaped on 2 of them and beat them up. So they fled out of the house naked and badly injured. Now, that's ritualistic right there, because they didn't have a relationship with God at all. They went to probably a couple of revival services and saw Paul casting out some demons and said, man, he's just using words. I can do that. So they went out there and tried it. The team has beat the mess out of them, you know. And, you know, oof, I tell you, it's hard enough getting beat up by a sane person, you know, and then you got a guy with demons beating you up. I mean, it's, well, that was rough, you know. So that's ritualistic. So, you know, when you're pleading the blood, we're covered under the blood. When we accept Christ into our lives, we're covered. When, as soon as we're saved, when God looks upon us, the blood of Jesus is covering every sin, so God doesn't see the sin because of Jesus' shed blood. He sees Jesus' blood. So plead the blood over your family. When I was a young teenager, it was about 8 of us, and we were playing some basketball. We were going to play some basketball. So we were going to go to this other park, probably maybe a good 15, 20 blocks away from where we lived. And they had bigger, many more courts, so you could, you know, play ball. So we went walking over there, and we cut through this gas station. So back then, you know, you're probably talking the 70s. You still had, you know, you didn't have much for self-service gas stations. You had guys that came out and filled your tank. Well, another thing that came along with those type of gas stations were gas station dogs. And so we were cutting through, and we went through around this car, and all of a sudden, I mean, this huge German Shepherd comes out of nowhere, and he just charges us. So, and I just want to say this. I'm a big guy, and I've always been the bigger guy. Always had, I've had, never had trouble with, you know. So, and I wasn't even the first guy in the group. So now as the dog comes and charges us, everybody, shoom, around and back of me. Now, and I'm replaying all this in my head, and this didn't all go in this scenario, but I'm just picturing and remembering all this. Everybody had a piece of my shirt. You could feel all these fists in your back. You'd have thought I was a big dummy, a puppet, you know. They had me, and I mean, they had my shirt so tight, they had the collar up here around my neck. And I mean, when the dog would go this way, they turned me that way. When the dog would go this way, they turned me that way. You know, and these are supposed to be my friends, you know. So, now, like I said, it didn't all happen. I wasn't thinking of this at the scenario. This was probably after the fact when I thought of all the fists in my back. Well, now this dog lunges at me. And as he comes forward, I say, "The blood of Jesus," like that. And as soon as I said that, boom, he stopped in his tracks. Lunged again. I said, "The blood of Jesus." Boom, he stopped in his tracks. Now, it's like every time I said that, it was like something hit him. You know, and I believe that Jesus just stood right in between me and him. And the third time he jumped again, I said, "The blood of Jesus," did the same thing. Now, this was a big German Shepherd. And I mean, I don't, you know, other than Jesus being in front of us, I don't see anything else that stopped him from biting us. Now, as soon as I said it the third time and he went back, all of a sudden the owner of the gas station, he looks out the door and he whistles and he calls the dog's name. And then the dog takes off and runs inside. So then we go on about our business. Nobody said a word about it after that. We just went on about our business, went to the, played basketball, had a fun time. Nobody mentioned a word. You know, "Oh, sorry, Dan, for wrinkling your shirt." Nothing like that, you know. None of that, you know. So I just don't understand it. But anyway, there was, you know, and like I said, I was, you know, I was always the bigger kid. Well, I had seen this comedian on YouTube. His name is Broderick Rice. And he was doing a little skit. And he had said that he said, "I prayed to the Lord one day because people were making fun of my weight." And he said, "You know what the Lord told me? He said, 'You tell everybody that this is increase. This isn't weight.'" He goes, "This is increase." He says, "Tell them that I'm increasing your territory." "That this is your season," he goes, like that. And then he goes, "Big belly, much power. Little belly, little power. No belly, no power," he goes. He goes, "You need a belly." He goes, "Have some power, you know." So, but I, you know, it's just amazing, you know. But anyway, you know, I just thank the Lord for humor. Well, and anyway, in our church that we grew up with, and you know, when, you know, everybody here is basically on a first name basis. You know, we put a little title in front of Eric, you know, Pastor Eric, you know, and then at our church we put like say. You know, Sister D or Sister Janet or, you know, or Brother Josh. You know, we do stuff like that. Well, anyway, we had these older sisters, and I call them the Holy Ghost sisters. You know, whenever you, and, but I mean, they were serious Holy Ghost sisters. They weren't like, you know, if you ever watch Sanford and Son, you see Aunt Esther, when she go, "Oh, glory," you know, kind of like that. That's how they were. And I mean, for real. You know, and so, you know, after church, you know, we greet everybody before church, and, you know, we do it after church, too. But after church, when the sermon is done, everybody's walking around, "Praise the Lord, brother so-and-so," and you go up to, and one was named Sister Benjamin, and the other one was Sister Jones. And you go, "Praise the Lord, Sister Jones." "Oh, praise the Lord." You know, she'd do her, you know, "Oh, praise the Lord." You know, she's shaking your hand like that, you know, and Sister Jones is the same way, you know. Well, anyway, they had these revival meetings this one week. And back then, and this is still back in the 70s, back then, man, we used to pile people in cars, sitting on laps just to get them home. Well, for some reason that night, there weren't a lot of cars that night, so they had to take public transportation. So they lived in the projects. So anyway, instead of them waiting to get off the bus as it went around the projects to the front, they got off in the back. So when you get off in the back, you walk through this park. It's got a lot of trees and stuff like that. So they walk through the park. Well, Sister Benjamin didn't want to walk through the park. So Sister Joan said, come on, we'll be all right. You know, everything will be fine. So they're, you know, they're heading through the park, and they come against this gang of kids. And all of a sudden, this one of them says, hey, ladies, what do you guys got in those purses? Like that, we need to see what's in those purses. And all of a sudden, Sister Joan said, the blood of Jesus. She stomped her foot. I plead the blood of Jesus on you like that. The blood of Jesus is against you like that. And then all of a sudden, the one guy looked at her. She said, the blood of Jesus, like that. So then all of a sudden, after she said that, they said, everything's okay, ladies. Everything's okay. You know, you guys can go. You guys can go. And they walked on and went on home. You know, it was just a disruption. The devil can't stand the blood. And as they pleaded the blood, that blood just totally disrupted every harm that they wanted to put on these women. You know, we talk about we don't fight against flesh and blood, and we don't. That's affecting something in the heavenlies. The devil is controlling them, and as soon as you disrupt the devil, you just totally disrupted everything. And they walked away, no harm, didn't get hurt or anything like that. So, you know, when I plead the blood, I've been taught, you know, you plead the blood over everything. You plead the blood over your kids, over your home, over your cars. Plead the blood over you if you're having financial, even if you're not having financial trouble, plead the blood over your checkbooks. Plead the blood over everything. You know, Lord, I just plead the blood, believing in everything that you have in store for me. I believe that you will handle everything, that you would keep it out of the hands of the devil. So don't be, you know, this is just a little tidbit, you know, on the power of prayer and the power of the blood. You know, as Pastor Eric asked me to preach, and then I didn't realize it was going to be a prayer service tonight, and you know, I kind of thought that maybe this would maybe somehow go hand in hand, you know, just to plead the blood over everything. Just plead the blood over those that are sick, those that are in need. Just trusting in God's power to come through and just heal them. You know, the cover, as I said earlier, the covering of the blood is a relationship. We have a relationship with the Lord. As soon as we accept him into our hearts, we're covered. We're covered. You know, after this sermon here, the hymn we're going to sing, and the words, I love the words, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Now, you think of that. When someone is bleeding or whatever, and you see blood all over everything, it's a mess. But Jesus' blood is considered white as snow. It cleanses you, white as snow. How is that? That's because God is in control of that. That's that pure blood. There's no defects in it or anything. It's all pure. It's that pure blood. Just think if we all had pure blood in us right now, God's blood flowing through us, where we wouldn't have any sicknesses or illnesses. You think of when Jesus walked the earth, he wasn't sick or anything like that. He walked the earth and stayed healthy. You know, I heard a story one time. This was back when David Koresh, I don't know if you remember him, the Waco, Texas guy. And I remember somebody was saying, I saw that guy one day. I saw him coming out of Lens Crafters. And then somebody said, well, if he's claiming to be Jesus, why is he wearing glasses? You know, because he's got to have 20/20. He's God. You know what I mean? And so, you know, God is a wonder. And I just thank God for him. I just thank him for the blood. I just thank Jesus for just coming from heaven to earth to be with us. I just thank God for the opportunity to speak. Whenever I have to prepare a sermon, I mean, I'm so nervous because it's like I don't know what to preach on or whatever, and the Lord always comes through. He always shows you what he wants you to preach on. But I just want to leave you with this, is that God is good all the time, and you just trust him. Just continue to know that he is in control of every situation. You know, I know that the enemy comes in and you want to, and sometimes it just seems so hard and you're wondering where God is, but God is right there with you. He's just molding and shaping you through this trial, this fire that you're going through. And he says, as he's trying you through the fire, you come out as pure gold. So don't give up. You know, just continue to hold on. I know that, again, things look bleak and things look real bad for you, but just continue to trust the Lord at all times, at all times. Let's bow our heads. Lord God, I just thank you for this day, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for the word this morning. And Lord, I just pray, Lord God, as the word was given, Lord, I just pray, Lord God, that people would move and draw closer to you, Lord. Lord, because we know, Lord God, that you have all the answers to everything. We know that you're in control of everything. Lord, we just pray, Lord God, for, again, for those that have lost loved ones, Lord God. We just pray, Lord God, for comfort for the family, and I'm thinking of Maria's family, Lord. And Lord, we also continue to lift up, Lord God, all of those, Lord God, that are sick, Lord God, and that are hurting right now. All of those, Lord God, that don't think that you even care, Lord. But I just pray, Lord God, that their eyes would be open to you and that they would see, Lord God, that you do care and that you are in control of everything. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to work mightily, Lord God, in this nation, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, over the government, Lord God. I pray that their eyes would be open to you, Lord God. Over our president, Lord God, his eyes would be open to you, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord God, over those, Lord God, that are in powerful seats, Lord, that make decisions in different places, Lord God, that have other people's well-being at their disposal. I pray, Lord God, that they would do the right thing, Lord God. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that everyone would seek you first in your righteousness and that everything else would fall into place after that, Lord. Lord, continue to move mightily in this church, Lord God, as we're starting a new journey, Lord God, with Pastor Aaron. And Lord, I just pray, Lord God, that you would just continue, Lord God, to lift him up, continue to build him up, Lord God. Continue to increase his territory, Lord. Lord, I just thank you, Lord God, for this body of believers. I thank you, Lord God, for how, you know, when someone is hurting, how we come together, Lord, as a family and lift them up in prayer. Lord, continue to use this body, Lord God, for your glory. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.